2 Chronicles chapter 8, I want to talk about Solomon's obsession with building. At the end of 20 years, verse 1, in which Solomon had built the house of Yahweh and his own house, 7 years for the temple, 14 years, sorry, 6 years for the temple, 14 for his own house, he was obsessed with building. In his autobiography in Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, he says he went through this phase of building. That he built all sorts of things. He built the house of the forest of Lebanon as well, but that he built all sorts of things because he just got into building. Now, for most men, in fact, all men, I suppose, really, they might spend a lot of their time making money or wealth or whatever to spend on buying a house and possibly a second house and doing this extension, that extension on it and getting this right and that right, but hardly anybody had the chance to do building to the extent that Solomon did. And yet, as he says in Ecclesiastes, I didn't find any fulfillment there. I didn't find any true wisdom there. I didn't find anything in it. The eye is never satisfied with seeing. So his building, including the building of the temple, was really sort of part of his obsession at that time. So I think that although he apparently seemed so zealous in building the temple, I think you've got to see it in the context of his general obsession with building anyway. And in verse 6, we read that he also built store cities, and elsewhere you read that he did this with slave labor, and cities for his chariots and all this stuff, all that Solomon desired to build for his pleasure in Jerusalem. The building was for his pleasure, rather than service to God. It's rather like maybe the person who likes traveling and they say, oh, I'm a missionary. And they may indeed troop off to Africa and go around on a load of safaris and thoroughly enjoy themselves living a high luxury life. But, oh, yeah, they drop in and see some beat up little church here or there and give them a few quid and a bit of help and all that and speed on to their next luxury hotel. And say, oh, but I'm doing it because I love the people. Well, no. Sorry, you're on holiday and enjoying yourself. You're doing your own pleasure. And so it can be with all sorts of things. That we can think that we're serving God when in fact we are doing our own pleasure. This is where I think it's slightly mistaken to think that we are given talents, as in natural abilities or interests which we are to use for God. The parable of the talents isn't talking about talents in that sense. It's talking about talents as in a weight of gold or whatever that is given to you to use. We are asked, in fact, to pick up a cross and follow Jesus. We are asked to go against the grain of our own nature. And in doing all this, in fact, building store cities, as we're told he did in verse 6, by slave labor, he's actually acting just like Pharaoh did to the Israelites. That's why when Solomon dies, the people come and complain to his son and say that, look, your father abused us. And he became so obsessed with all this building, all this cutting out and quarrying of stones and transporting them to Jerusalem. He had thousands of people doing this. And if you look at all the cedar that he must have used just on the forest of Lebanon and on his own house, I mean, this would have required a whole forest of cedar to be cut down in Lebanon. It almost required the deforestation of Lebanon. And that's why it was called the House of the Forest of Lebanon. That the Forest of Lebanon had been cut down and transported down to Jerusalem. And, you know, he's very obsessed with himself and what he wants to do. And the only way he funded this was by abusing the people, making these great big levies that you had to come and serve him and all that, taxing them to smithereens and so forth. In fact, the whole thing about store cities, literally heaped up cities for his heaping up, really, I think, was alluded to by Jesus in his parable of the rich fool who is on about me, me, me all the time. I have nowhere to bestow my fruits, etc. And this heaping up, as I say, in store cities resulted in him abusing the people. And in fact, the word that's used for the levy that he raises in 1 Kings 5 is the same word used in Exodus 1 about how the Egyptians were as taskmasters. They put tasks or levies, a number of bricks, for example, for every day that the Israelite slaves had to produce. And of course, his father-in-law was Pharaoh, so he becomes really like an Egyptian, like a Pharaoh, in the way that he's abusing people. And yet all the time he's telling himself this narrative that this is for God. I believe that Psalm 127 is a rebuke of him, where he is told it is vain for you to be up all hours of day and night involved in your building work, because unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. And it's said so often that Solomon built the temple. The connection between Solomon building and temple is multiple times through the Bible, as if Solomon built it, not God. And sure, God so accommodates himself to people that, sure, he worked through it and the cloud of glory came and settled in the temple. Just as God will go along with human dysfunction and will use this kind of obsessive behavior to forward his purpose in his own way. But the lesson for us then is that we are to pick up a cross and follow Jesus. It's not what you want to do, it's what he wants. And it's also not what you want to do, it's what people actually need. And this whole thing of centralized religion was not actually the way to personal spirituality, but he wasn't interested in that, unfortunately. It was all about him, and this is why churches go wrong. It's all about the leaders. It's all about some of the people who go there. It's all about them. And the whole spirit should be, it's not about me. It's all about him.